time the children are dismissed to children's church. And as they're going, we're beginning today an Advent series. And if you look in your bulletin, there's a handout there. Use it to invite, use it to remember, use it to look forward. So as we begin this morning, the call of Christmas, we're going to be looking at several different aspects in the Christmas narrative. This morning, we're going to be looking at Zechariah and a call to prepare. And with each of these, we're going to be looking at a video segment just to kind of get your mind open and flowing for what God wants to speak to us this morning.
Quiet for a long time, not opening your mouth, not saying a word. I'm talking complete silence. God was for over 400 years. The muteness from the creator of the universe, the one who said that Earth is but a footstool to him, was about to break his silence.
Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John.
A son?
You will have great joy, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will turn many to the Lord their God. He will come with the power of Elijah.
Elijah?
He will prepare the people for the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children.
But I'm an old man. My wife...
I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. And it was he who sent me to give you this good news. You will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For what he has spoke will surely be fulfilled.
It begins. The ritual becomes radiant, and the faithful become fathers. When God speaks, the heavens rise and the earth bows. Hope grows where hurt was rooted. Time becomes eternity. And he leads us to holy ground that was once hollow. Yes, my friends, God is just getting started.
We looked this morning, the account of Zechariah, and I want to begin this morning by going backwards 400 years to Malachi 4:5 in the beginning of verse 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This prophecy was given to Malachi, and it seemed that God was quiet for over 400 years. But was he? We saw that clip of Zechariah in the temple. And as that prophecy was given to Malachi at the time, they were under, the time of the exile was over. They had reestablished Jerusalem, beginnings of the temple. City was rebuilt. They began to rebuild life as a Jewish community. But they were under Persian rule. Not too long after that, a guy called Alexander the Great, you have heard of him, takes over the entire region to include where the Jews lived. Alexander dies. Four of his generals take over, split up what that was. Ptolemy, who was down in Egypt, was in charge of the area where the Jews lived. And that empire grew. And in opposition to that, and as that realm of Alexander weakened under those four generals, Syria came down, conquers the Holy Land. The Jews began to revolt against that. It brought in the Maccabean era and the Hasmonean era. They actually got Jewish rule back for a while. But it was heavy-handed, heavy-thumbed. And they were weak. And it was during this time that Pompey and the Roman Empire came in and conquered. 63 B.C. 50-some-odd years before this event with Zechariah took place. So the 50 years preceding this was under Roman rule. For the Jews, they were looking for a Messiah. The world wasn't. But as we look at the preparation of not only the Jews, and we'll look at the preparation of Zechariah, the world was being prepared. This 400 years where God had not spoken through the prophets, he was changing the entire culture in that area. It gave opportunity for those Jewish Old Testament scriptures to be translated into several of those languages that the people of the world could start to read about it. The Jews were crushed over and over and over again, wondering where God was, what he was doing. And he placed them right in the middle of the crossroads of the culture. And he had a plan. And as we look at that plan, we pick up where that video began in Luke chapter 1. And picking up in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. The narrative that Luke gives us opens with Herod the Great. Herod was basically placed into power. He was the face of Rome there. He insisted and wanted to be called king. Herod was not a nice guy. If you think about scripture, Herod was the one eventually who would bring the death of all the young boys in Bethlehem. He married into the family of what was that former Hasmonean dynasty, the Jewish rule, just to kind of placate them. But he didn't want to give up any of his power. He was known for killing several within the family, even though no one could really prove it. And a lot of those, the family of that previous rule, all seemed to meet mysterious deaths. And it's into this time that Luke opens this narrative. And as we look at this, Herod is, he's countered with a man called Zechariah. Not a perfect guy, but he was a priest. He was a righteous man. It talks about him and his wife Elizabeth being righteous people. They were old and had no children. The end of 400 years of silence, or so they thought, by God, was getting ready to come to an end. Continuing in Luke, verse 8. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And I want to give you a picture of what's going on here. Zechariah, the priest, was one of a group of 24 different groups. There could have been 100 plus priests in each of these groups. Their job was to come from their homes to Jerusalem twice a year for 1 week intervals. They, as a priest, they would come and they would work 2 weeks a year in Jerusalem. This was one of those weeks. And as it came to pass, the time for incense, they would draw lots on who got to be the one to go in. So in all likelihood, this was the one chance in all Zechariah's life to get to enter that holy place. The lot fell on Zechariah on purpose. We must never forget that. And as we look at this morning in a call to prepare, God prepared the world. He prepared the Jews, whether they realized it or not, but he prepared Zechariah. And at the end of the verses we just read there, we see in verse 10, Zechariah goes in to burn incense, and all the people are outside praying, and I wonder what they're praying for. They've not heard from God for over 400 years through a prophet. In Malachi, the verses we read in the beginning were the last things they heard. So the people were outside praying. Zechariah was prepared for his duty. He goes in to burn incense, but was he prepared for what was going to happen? Continuing in verse 11. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And I want us to think about that before continuing. That altar would not have been much bigger than this table. And Zechariah goes in to burn incense, and to the right side, the angel would have been right next to him. Not behind it, not up above him. The angel would have been next to him at that altar. I would have been surprised. I'm not sure about you. But we see, you know, I think the portrayal on the video of what happened to Zechariah would have been pretty close. He would have been terrified. And the angel shows up. Verse 12, Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and she'll call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Zechariah gets a message and has an encounter as few would ever. It was amazing and terrifying all at the same time. And Zechariah gets this good news. What I wonder was, what was Zechariah's prayer that was answered? Surely it's his son to come. But I don't really think that was all of Zechariah's prayer. I think Zechariah was praying for the Messiah. And he got the good news. His son was going to prepare the way. The time for preparation was at hand. And we continue in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized they'd seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Now, I have a question. Josh, you want to help me? Come here. You are the actor kid, all right? And a dictionary, but I'm not going to bring that one up. Okay. You are Zechariah. This amazing thing just happened to you. You go in to burn incense, all right? The angel appears to you, gives you this fantastic news. And then you can't tell anyone about it. All right? Your time is done inside. You come outside. You're making all these gestures as to what happened in there. Go. Not to me, to them. Okay? Go ahead. We're going to figure it out. Thank you, Josh. You get the idea, though, right? What in the world happened? And I can't believe he didn't do this or this, okay? How in the world do you give the best news that anyone to this point had ever gotten without a voice? He finishes his time in Jerusalem. He doesn't run right home. He can't talk. They finish their priestly thing. He goes home. What in the world do you say to your wife? She might have been happy. But how do you express meeting the messenger of God? What does that do to you? Zechariah was being prepared. He was prepared. And I want us to think of the fact that Zechariah, he met that because he was prepared to be prepared. His heart was open to the moving of God. He was looking forward to the moving of God. And he was met by Gabriel. And Gabriel comes and tells him his prayers, all the desires of his heart have been answered. Beginning of this narrative, Zechariah goes in, and all the people, the multitude is praying outside, and Zechariah goes in, and the prayer that was answered was his. I don't know what they were praying outside. I'm sure they were praying also for the Messiah. But he gets this answer. And I thought Josh did a pretty good job. But it's hard to communicate. And this narrative ends in verses 24 and 25. And it's going to leave us hanging. We know it's coming. But it's going to leave us hanging. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." God was working, and he was getting ready to work in a grand way. Zechariah and Elizabeth were prepared for God to work in their lives. They saw it. They experienced it. Things are pretty quiet in the Zechariah house for a while. And till this point, where this narrative or this piece of it ends, it's been a quiet 5 months. Plus, of God working. And Elizabeth, being an old woman, feeling the growing life inside her. And I want us to think also, as we put all this together, the fact that Zechariah, when Gabriel announces who he is, would have recognized the message. He would have recognized the Elijah to come. He would have known that 400 years was drawing to a close, that the Messiah was going to come. Elijah would be the forerunner. He would have recognized, most likely, the name Gabriel, who, if you were to go back into Daniel chapters 9 and 10, told him that his prayers had been answered as well. And it was good news. And as we begin and in this series, looking at this Advent season, this Christmas season, as we begin, we need to reflect, just as Zechariah and Elizabeth did, at what God was preparing to do. And I think about the fact, and looking this week, we know Christmas is coming, and I'm guessing that some of you went shopping this week. You may have decorated this week. Some of you may have shopped a lot this week or decorated a lot. But what have we done to prepare for the Advent season to come? Have we prepared our hearts? And as we go through these weeks of this series, each of them is a call to ponder, a call to act on what we've heard and seen in Scripture. And that's the charge for today. You know, allow God to prepare your heart. Look forward to this season. It's not about the gifts. It's about the gift. And as we go through this time, I look forward to the weeks to come and the expectation of how these will build and how we see the hand of God at work. He's never been silent. He's always been at work. Those 400 years he was preparing the planet for the Messiah, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this account of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Lord, the first person who knew of the announcement of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's coming and incarnation, was an obscure priest, an old man in the temple, whose heart was righteous in obedience and a desire to see you work. Lord, give us your heart as we live and, Lord, experience this Advent season. Make us a people prepared to meet you. Make us a people prepared, Lord, not only for our celebration of your first coming. Make us a people prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. Lord, prepare our hearts to live in response to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.